Section86.com. We're changing the world of podcasting, one show at a time.
Off the Mark has a great announcement to make. Our show is now on Stitcher. Listen to us on your iPhone, Android, BlackBerry, and WebOS phones. Stitcher is smart radio for your phone. Find it in your app store or at Stitcher.com. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio.
86 Productions.
Welcome to another episode of Off the Mark, the only podcast providing the most in-depth insight and analysis into the world of professional wrestling. I am Andrew, and I'm joined by my co-host Aaron. Let's start the show by discussing the most recent news. Vince Russo is no longer the head writer of Impact Wrestling. This is a big thing, isn't it, Aaron?
Yeah, he's actually no longer the head writer of TNA either, Andy.
Ooh, TNA.
Yeah, that's what I have in the show information there.
And by the way, just to let you know, Hulk Hogan was actually on Howard Stern the other day, and I listened to the whole thing, which was actually really interesting, and he actually calls it TNA.
Well, of course.
He doesn't call it Impact. He called the show Impact Wrestling, but he called it TNA. He called it TNA. So I think, unfortunately, I think you are right on this one. It's TNA, and they have a show called Impact Wrestling.
Absolutely.
It's TNA's Bound for Glory, which, by the way, is this Sunday.
Oh, and I'm looking forward to it. I am, and we'll talk about it when we get to the TNA section.
Yep.
But is this good for TNA to do? Was it a good move for them to get rid of Vince Russo as the head writer?
I don't think Vince is the problem, though. I mean, you can get rid of him all you want, but the problem is the powers to be, if you want to say that. I just don't think that firing Vince Russo is going to do much. I just have a bad feeling about this.
Well, yeah, I mean, you know. It could be bad, but I'm actually optimistic about it. I've never been a Vince Russo fan. I've never liked him. I've always thought that his storylines have been rather mediocre, and he's more shock value, but it's bad shock value. But Andy, the next thing I wanted to ask you about, though, is did you hear about Tyson Tomko this weekend?
I heard he needed a deeper spoon, but let's just move on to Raw. So Triple H announces that the WWE will continue on with Sheamus, John Cena, and CM Punk on the stick, which I was very happy about. Very excited about this opening segment. And CM Punk puts on Triple H's coat, goes out there, and he starts doing commentary, which I thought was genius.
I had no idea what was going to happen. I was actually intrigued a little, but I was afraid that it was going to be the whole thing was just going to be them wrestling. And then, like, I don't know. Like, I had no idea what was going to happen. So I was kind of intrigued. And then you hear McMahon's music, you know, and then he comes out. And he fires Triple H as the COO.
No, the board of directors does.
I'm sorry. The board of directors has relieved him from his duties.
Of COO. So, yeah, he's been relieved of those duties, though. That's the thing.
Yeah. So he's still around. I mean, you know, and we'll talk a little bit more about what he might be doing. And then Johnny Ace, Mr. Laurinaitis, you know, I'm going to just call him Johnny Ace.
Ace. Everyone.
That was his name.
Yeah.
You know. So Johnny Ace, he announces that Alberto Del Rio versus Cena is announced for Vengeance.
Wow, we finally got a match for Vengeance, a pay-per-view that was on Raw 13 days away is Vengeance, the pay-per-view, with no matches.
Oh, no, Andy. They have this one.
They have one right now. One. It's ridiculous. You should have at least some of it planned out. They're probably going to have four matches and be like, hey, and one of them is going to be the women's match. So, you know, that's like, you know, 5 minutes of filler time. So you subtract that. So you got, 2 hours and 35 minutes for three matches.
Yep.
Fantastic. Can't do that anymore.
Now, the main event was CM Punk against Alberto Del Rio, but basically they decided it
Johnny
was going to be a tag team.
Johnny Ace hired some people back, though. Who were they, Aaron?
Oh, he hired back Our Miz.
Our Miserable. You suck. You suck. Yeah, they got hired back.
So it turned into a tag team, but that ended in a no contest, of course. Oh. You know?
Why wouldn't it? I didn't understand that. And then it's Punk and Triple H, you know, and Our Miz is announced for Vengeance. But I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Triple H comes out and beat some butt, if you want to call it that. But he came out in jeans this time, so he doesn't have to wear the suit anymore.
He came out to attack our Miz, and after that, you know, they announced that it was going to be those two against our Miz at Vengeance. So is this? They have announced two matches so far.
Mm-hmm.
Is this a pay per view seller?
No. This is
why not?
This is where you convince a buddy, like, hey, dude, you should really get this pay per view because I want to watch it, but I'm going to convince you it's going to be a great pay per view. You go over there and you hop on TweetDeck and you bash it the entire time because it's so bad. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's and the thing is, I wish there was more places around where I live that I could just hop on, watch the pay per view, you know, pay $5, and just watch it and just be like, oh, why am I watching this crap? Instead of wasting all this money watching a pay-per-view that you're just like, are you serious? This is what you're trying to book? You're going to have an impromptu match that you could have probably got an extra 10,000 buys out of. Wait, Goldberg's having to face Hulk Hogan on Nitro, and it's Thursday, and they just started selling tickets for that Nitro? You advertise it now? Goldberg goes, what?
Yeah.
I'm facing him? Okay.
No, that's the problem with short-term booking, you know. But the other thing, too, is for this stretch of pay-per-views, I hate to get to talk about it now, but, you know, if you sold those pay-per-views for $30, let's say, Hell in a Cell, Vengeance, and whatever it was before this one, you know, Night of Champions, mm-hmm. you know, you say, these are $30 pay-per-views. You're going to get somebody who might be a casual wrestling fan to buy one of them.
Right.
You know, like, they might have bought Night of Champions, you know, be like, oh, Punk versus Triple H, that sounds kind of cool. I'm going to get that pay-per-view. It's only $30, you know? And you'll get people who are more interested in wrestling. Maybe they'll buy two, you know?
Right.
So, I don't know. I mean, that's, you know, that's going a little off topic, but I'll tell you what, that's what I would have rather seen.
Well, I'm still trying to get my research done for, like, you know, I said 40 episodes ago that I have the pay-per-view stuff. I have all the buys now. I just don't know how the pricing. When do they change the pricing? That's the only thing I don't have. As soon as I find out when they start changing all the pricing, we need to talk about it. I think I can tell you, I can probably guess when the price, because the pay-per-view buys start to go down slowly, and then there's a big jump, and it goes down slowly, then another big jump, and goes up a little bit, then a big jump down. Each time it jumps down, I think that's when they raise the price. So I can tell you approximately when they raise the pricing, and that's the other problem. I mean, because, like, in all seriousness, Vengeance, if they had it for like $20, you know how many buys they'd get off it? Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they'll make good money off it. But if you had $20, more people who are, let's just say, pirating it or whatever, they would probably spend the money. So
yeah, get a higher quality, might as well.
And I was about to get into this whole Netflix thing, but this is wrestling. So let's move on to SmackDown. Something that, as you can tell, was booked just hey, you know, we got nothing else to open the show with. Let's do a 40-man battle royale.
41-man, Andy.
41-man battle royale for any championship.
Yeah, so they, you know, whoever wins gets to choose which championship, you know?
Yep.
And it comes down to Orton and Miz. Guess who wins, Andy?
Well, I'm going to have to say Orton, and I think he's like, you know what? I want to go after the Cruiserweight title.
And he takes on Hornswoggle, and he beats him.
Yep, it takes on Hornswoggle. 1-2-3. Or 1-2 kicks out, and then Hornswoggle punches them in the stomach. Orton collapses, appendix burst, you know.
Yeah.
And have an appendectomy, you know, done afterwards. Hornswoggle is your new world heavyweight champion.
Yeah.
No, but yeah, Orton wins, and he, of course, is going to face Mark Henry.
Yeah.
He's going to have to. I mean, yeah. Who else is he going to face? I mean, is he going to be the tag champion by himself?
Yeah, well, yeah. Now then, you know, something else that happened in the show, you have Christian and Sheamus. You know, they're basically just continuing their feud. Sheamus took on Alberto Del Rio, Christian interferes, and then Christian just, you know, beats the crap out of him. So this feud is going to continue.
This will be match number 3 at Vengeance. They haven't announced it, but it just smells like a good, and this will be a good one with, I think, Christian going over.
No,
yes, dude, because Sheamus can lose. See, the thing is, Sheamus will lose this match and nothing will happen. Everyone will still cheer him. They can continue the feud and then whatever the November pay-per-view is, Survivor Series, he can go ahead and win that one.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, since no one's going to buy Vengeance, you know, so.
That's true. And you know what? We should actually find out why WWE does this. You know, three weeks or 5 weeks, three pay-per-views. We should actually find a real exec and find out, hey, why do you do this?
I don't know. That'd be a great question. I wish that there was like a Ask Me Anything segment that we could do, or we could ask them, you know, like, what is the economics of having the pay-per-views go from $30 to $50?
You know what? We can't ask that question. We actually can. We need to find a stockholder. And believe it or not, they can ask any question at the stockholders meeting, which is, I think, every February or whatever. So we need to find someone who has stock and actually ask that question, because that would be a great question.
Well, I've said before, and you know, even if we were still doing the show, I would strongly consider buying stock in the WWE. Strongly consider it. Because they are at a low. And so, you know, I mean, if they keep going down, okay, bad move. But I could put money into it, and then I could actually have a voice there, which would be kind of interesting.
Well, that's the thing. You have to buy them. I think it's either 100 or 1,000 shares at a time. Mm-hmm. That's how they work. And plus, you have to go through a certain person. It's kind of a pain in the butt. But if you get to the stockholders meeting, great. You get to show up. You get to sit there and see all the people and be like, hey, CM Punk just bought some stock, and he's going to ask some questions, you know, in character, of course.
Yeah.
So who picks out your clothes? You or your wife? Getting back on track. So Orton's match against Henry ends in a DQ when Cody Crossroads attacks him. Saw this coming. So basically they're doing something that that we've suggested before. They have basically two feuds with Randy Orton. You have him going for the title, and you have basically what we call a mid-card feud as well. Mm-hmm. And the nice part is you have both championships going. And Cody Rhodes is still doing also his little IC defending. Of course, they still haven't done anything about the belt besides keeping it Ultimate Warrior colors, but that's beside the point. But yeah, I wasn't surprised. You're able to throw, you know, he's still relevant, which I guess is the best way to put it. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Yeah, you know what? It was okay. You know, SmackDown has kind of been pretty crappy. I will say that the 41-man Battle Royal was pretty decent, because I like seeing these every now and then, because it's something different. It's, you know, you haven't seen it in a while, so I do like that. But at the end of the day, their programming feels like it has been thrown together, and that's my issue. That is the biggest issue that I have, is that it's just, you know, run of the mill. We're just throwing this together, and I don't like it.
Yeah, that's how it feels to me all the time. It's like, come on, who wrote this? It feels like, you know, like, when you basically pay a staff of writers, I'm a guesstimating on this, almost $1 million a year, and I think there's, what, like 5-6 writers? You're paying them all this stuff, all this money, or creative team, I should say. You're paying them all this money, and you're putting a show together that looks like literally one of the Triple H's kids put it together. Mm-hmm. That's what it seems like. Why 40-man Battle Royale? Why not 37? Because 41's bigger. You know,
apparently,
why Asia? Because Asia is bigger than China. You know, WCW reference. There you go.
Okay.
Don't you remember Asia? There was a girl that came in, and her name was Asia, and she was the ninth wonder of the world. And then they said, why Asia? And then I think it was Bischoff goes, because she's bigger than China.
That's pretty good.
So I thought that was.
That's pretty good.
WCW reference. Look it up. Yeah, so I thought that was funny. So anyway, so after the beatdown that Orton gets by Cody Rhodes, surprise, Show comes out and saves him. So the Big Show comes out, which will be the fourth match on the pay-per-view.
Big Show versus Henry, yeah. Because it's got to be a little mini feud they're going to have, you know?
Yeah, so does Show win this, though?
No. I don't think you have Show win this. I think that you basically make it look like he's gonna like screw him over somehow, have Henry retain. I think that's probably gonna be the best thing to do.
You think so?
I do, Andy.
So is Orton gonna continue? So the fifth match then is gonna have to be Orton versus Cody Rhodes.
Oh yeah.
Are we booking this? Because I bet you this is how the pay-per-view is gonna end up being, by the way.
Oh, we might as well get paid for this.
Yeah, okay, and the next match they're going to have it's for the tag champs. It's going to be Air Boom versus Ziggler and Swagger. Air Boom's going to drop it to Swagger and Ziggler. So that's your sixth match. And then we're going to have the women's match. So what, that's going to be Kelly versus Beth Phoenix. And I bet Kelly wins by DQ.
Yes, that's a good job.
Dude, I'm telling you, this is what's going to happen. This is going to be sad. So that's the seventh match, all right? And then there's going to be some promo cut by someone, and that's it. So that's the pay-per-view. and they haven't even announced those matches yet, but if it is, we have to go back to the show and start making fun of the fact that the WWE is listening to our show and they're using our booking talents. So, and you know what we should do also? We should all get blogs on HostGator, and you should use the coupon code Off the Mark, and you'll save 25% off those hosting packages, right? You know what they offer? They offer unlimited disk space, bandwidth, and one-click script installs. So stop by today and make sure you use Off the Mark. It's your coupon code. Don't forget that. What do you got to lose? Check out HostGator.com and take a bite of your web hosting costs. Moving on to Impact Wrestling, which we know they listen to as well. AJ Styles versus RVD have a great match against Daniels and Lynn.
It's just a typical tag team match, you know, to build up the feuds that they have going into the pay-per-view. But it was a good match, and, you know, all these guys are really great performers, so that's, you know, something that's really nice to see.
It's just hard still, Christopher Daniels. Every time I see you put Daniels in there, I always laugh because I think of when he landed on his head in WCW, perfectly on his head, and survived it. Didn't break his
knee. You know something? Actually, let's pause right here on Impact Wrestling. Let's go back to SmackDown for a second.
Okay.
Where is Daniel Bryan Danielson at? Where is he at?
Apparently he walked out on Raw, if you remember. Even though he's on SmackDown, he walked out on Raw.
So he walked out on Raw. Where is he at? Honestly, like, where is he at? He has not been seen or talked about for a while. Like, I feel like they're doing nothing with him. I feel like they don't have a plan. And that he's just going to drop the Money in the Bank, you know, briefcase. They're actually going to hope that you forget about it.
So this is our plea right now. WWE, just hire us. Just say, give us 30 days. And I guarantee you we'll pull out the best shows. Superstars will have a 2.0 rating because people are like, did you watch Superstars the other day? Holy crap, it was awesome. WGN's going to be like, hey, can we get that show back? That's what they're going to say. They're like, well, we're not going to play the Blackhawks game. We want to run Superstars again. That's what they're going to say. Because you had to have everything thought out. And I swear that whatever's going on behind the scenes, I think some people just stop caring. There's so many creative things that can be so much better. You know, let's call Mick Foley, you know, have him be the Raw GM. Might as well.
He's going to be. He is going to take over. I mean, you know that's going to happen.
Yeah, and then we should ask him, like, so who's the anonymous Raw GM anyway? He's like, well, why was that Impact Wrestling, TNA, the company? This is what happened. I was doing dual duties. I was double dipping with paychecks.
I was doing both. It was me, Austin. It was me all along.
It was Dude Love doing it here.
So let's move back to Impact Wrestling. So Crimson Joe and Matt Morgan is officially announced for Bound for Glory. What do you think? Are you hyped up for this match at all? Is this going to be something that you'll like as a filler match even?
Nope, because this way Joe can win and Crimson, nothing happens. He can be like, I wasn't pinned. Or Matt Morgan can win, same thing.
Yeah.
That's all this is for. It's ridiculous, seriously. But the thing is, I will say, at least they're booking, some of this booking's been better at Impact Wrestling, but I'm just wondering who's doing it. You know,
they have been teasing this for a long time, though. It's not like this wasn't ready to go. They didn't announce it, but this was they definitely had this ready to go. They just announced it right before the pay-per-view.
Right.
Just like with Inc. and Mexican America. They, you know, were having, you know, issues for the past 3-4 weeks. But this is also now set for Bound for Glory for the titles.
But this was like you said, this was teased as well. So you knew this was going to happen.
Yeah.
And this is fine. You can have two matches because they're going to have, 10 matches or something like that at Bound for Glory. So it's going to be a good pay-per-view. And you're going to get probably at least 7 good matches out of that.
Yeah.
And that's fine. I'll take 7 great matches. You know, and 3, okay, because I'm sorry, but Crimson Joe and Matt Morgan. You know, Joe and Matt Morgan could probably do something, but Crimson's just kind of like there. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
So is it going to be Robert Roode versus Kurt Angle or Robert Roode versus Immortal?
I don't know. They've basically been doing Robert Roode against Immortal as opposed to him versus Angle. I mean, have they even had a really good, you know, on-screen chemistry? No. It's been Robert Roode and Gunner, Robert Roode with Bischoff or, you know, somebody else. It's not Robert Roode and Angle. And so I don't like this. I think the buildup to these two going at it hasn't been as good as it could have been. I think it's a missed opportunity.
Completely missed opportunity. They had everything going for it, and then it's like, it's almost like Vince Russo just was like, I don't know what to write. I think that, like, to me, that's how I take it. He was just like, you know, I'm not sure what I should write anymore. Yeah, let's just go ahead and do this. That's what it is. So,
yeah.
I don't know. But anyways, let's move on. Sting and Hulk Hogan had their contract signing to close the show.
Unnecessary.
Actually, Hogan talked about this on Stern. He actually said that he can't wrestle. He said he legitimately cannot wrestle, and they actually said when he left that he was like it looked like he was in pain walking. Because I guess he had just had another surgery. Mm-hmm. How are they going to actually wrestle?
Well, I thought that they should turn this into a tag match to give Hogan some, you know, time to rest, or turn it into a triple threat with Ric Flair in there. And, you know, Flair likes that role. He likes being the Maverick. He likes being that wild card, so to speak. I think that'd be a good idea because that way Hogan gets a chance to rest because we know how three-way matches work. You have two people go at it. The third person, they're down for a while, and then they, you know, break up a pin. We know how this goes. So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's how I would like to see. I don't like the idea of this closing the show. It should have been Robert Roode and Kurt Angle. They should have been the focus of the entire show. But they weren't.
Yeah, very, very big missed opportunity. And, you know, I think in a way they're trying to say, hey, you should definitely watch, you know, this pay-per-view for Sting Hogan, which is kind of pointless. But yeah, but like I said, he was on Stern. He actually said some very interesting things I didn't know about. And, you know, and it's actually kind of fun. I should actually definitely, if you can find the interview, it's really funny. He opens up to him. It's really interesting.
Yeah. So, Andy, what do you want to do for our weekly topic this week? Do you have anything that you would like to talk about?
I just want to bash how bad creative has been.
You want to talk about creative?
Well, I don't think we have an hour and a half to kill, but, I mean, I can go on. I could, if you gave me time, I could probably tell you everything. See, okay, one thing that I've actually seen with Ring of Honor, what they did, they basically had one focal point, and they then branched off to do other things. So you didn't just face a guy just to face a guy. You faced him to move up. There was some type of, you know, there was a ranking that they had behind the scenes, something that always made sense. And then they always said, okay, this guy beat this guy to get here, and this guy's now the champion. I can have this guy because he's doing well, interfere with some match. You could have, I'm sorry, they didn't do interferences, but like you could do something along those lines in a wrestling organization. It seems that the WWE seriously, when they're on their plane and they fly, you know, the execs fly to wherever we'll say it's in Chicago, they fly to Chicago. I don't think they know what's happening on the show yet. If it was me, I would already have planned out what's happening on Raw and SmackDown. And if there's a pay-per-view on that Sunday, I would already have Raw and SmackDown ready to go. And I know they're worried about things getting leaked out. The thing is, you can actually keep it just between you and like the other three or four creative people. Mm-hmm. The thing is, they're not doing anything. It seems that they're like, oh, crap, it's 7 o'clock, Raw goes on at 9 o'clock Eastern Standard Time or Pacific Standard Time. What are we going to do? You know, like something's going to happen. They're like, hey, just, you know, they would do the whole Kevin Nash thing. Hey, Kevin, go out there and talk for 20 minutes or whatever. It's 7 o'clock. We don't have a script for the show. I think that's what's happening now. Or it's happening, and then they're like, we don't like this. Well, we don't like this. Oh, we don't like this. If they seriously would just give us the creator for 30 days, we could put out some stuff that you would just blow your mind. Bring back stuff that happened. Be everything except, well, we can't bring back Katie Vick because no one wants to hear about that. Or Henry and his dating things. But there's,
well, you know, the thing is, and I agree with you. I think that the biggest problem is And I understand people getting hurt, and I understand not planning something out, you know, 5 months in advance. But you have to have the central storyline and then have things, you know, go from the center out, like you said. And so if somebody like, let's say, Kofi wrestles Swagger, no one has a title, let's say they're just wrestling. You know, Swagger has to come out and say, you know, I'm going to wrestle you and I'm going to beat you. So that way I'm going to be one step closer to the IC title, the US title, you know, this title, or, you know, like, or they're going to wrestle, you know, because he's going to say, I haven't liked you ever since you got here, you know, and then he tells him, you know, he explains this whole thing to him. But there isn't any of that. And I agree with you. I think the biggest problem is that they have matches that are thrown together just because there's no story behind them. And I said this before at Hardcore Justice when it was the ECW tribute show, quote unquote. Yeah, there's some good wrestling, but what was the storyline? Like, what was it? What was it? Why was Tommy Dreamer wrestling him? Why was RVD wrestling Sabu? Why was any of this stuff going on? What was the story building up to it? None. Mm-hmm. It was stupid. That's why I didn't like about it.
It's sad. I mean, I know they say, well, it's so hard. You come in and do our job. Well, the thing is, I can come in and do your job. The only problem that I would even have an issue with, in all seriousness, is doing the promos. What would I have them say? A lot of wrestlers just kind of go off the top of their head, and that's the only thing I need help with. I just tell them, like, here's the outline for the show. You're going to love in 3 weeks. Hey, someone gets injured, that's fine. See, the thing that's great right now, and I don't know who thought of this, and whoever did, I got to give him credit, or if it was just dumb luck. The fact that Randy Orton is in, what, two feuds right now is great. You always want something like that because you can always have Cody run in. You could always have Orton run into Cody's match. And you'd also have Mark Henry run into a match that Orton's in. There's so many possibilities then that you can have. And let's say Mark Henry gets hurt. That's fine. Orton has another feud. He's already in another feud. He had that minor feud. He's stepping right into it. Great. That's great. That's fine. You can also have Ted DiBiase come in as well if they're having a match together and say, you screwed me over when they did their gosh, what group were the three of men?
Legacy.
So they could say, you screw me over in Legacy or whatever. You can bring back stuff like that. And the other thing that also the WWE's not realizing is when they say when they're in Legacy, hey, have a DVD of Legacy come out around that time too. Bam, you got money coming in right there. So it's a win-win for merchandise sales or DVD sales as well. But the thing is they don't take that in consideration. I mean, look at Road Dogg. Road Dogg just got rehired as an agent, by the way. So he's an agent now for the WWE. Okay. You can have something about him coming out once and say, oh, what is Road Dogg doing here? Oh, he was a member of DX at one point. By the way, the DX just put out a new DVD. You know, you could integrate all that stuff together. Mm-hmm. It seems that this sounds really bad, but I almost think that Vince just says, I want you guys to run the company right now. And he stepped back and says, I want to see what's going to happen. And it's just chaos. And it's really sad because it's a great company and there's bad things that can happen. If the WWE ever went down, wrestling in general is done. Impact can't take over. Ring of Honor can't take over.
No.
What's the new stuff? What's Tommy Dreamer doing? He's doing something new. I can't remember what it's called. Like the Wrestling Society Project or Wrestling Revolution Project, I think is what it's called.
I just think that WWE really needs some better competition, though, too, because it makes you do better work. It makes you write better, and it makes the performers wrestle better.
Right, but the thing is, if you love something that much and you enjoy your job by doing that, it's going to be fun as well. And I just don't think some people care. I actually think there's some people in creative that just don't care. And your head of creative is Stephanie McMahon. Mm-hmm. I don't think she cares anymore. Because she put all that stuff into Triple H, and the Triple H stuff was doing good, but everything else suffered.
Yeah, yeah.
Ever since he's been back, everything just keeps getting worse, worse, and worse. But his stuff keeps getting, you know, a little bit better, better, better. So, WWE, this is all I'm asking. Let us run the creative for 30 days and give us a pay-per-view. Crap, give us December. Just give us December. I guarantee you we could put more butts in the seats because of it. That's our point. Off the mark. Aaron Hughes, Andrew Hughes, we want to run it for 30 days. December 1st, December 31st. It's all we ask.
I'm for it. I'm
all right.
It.
So that's all the time we have for this week's show. If you're into the Twitter, you can follow the show at AuthorMark86. I want to thank 86 Productions for hosting it and the podcast. And I want to thank our listeners for taking the time to download and listen to the show. And until next time, we'll see you in the ring.